This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Scoring the Senate health care bill, a huge bank bailout in Europe, and does your county have an international trade policy? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Probably today, the nonpartisan analysis on the Senate's health care reform legislation is due from the Congressional Budget Office. Senate Republicans are pushing hard to get the support they need ahead of a vote possibly this week, with some GOP members saying they can't support the proposal as it stands. Here's Marketplace's health desk reporter Dan Gorenstein. Dan?
While we wait for a CBO score, Senate Republicans are reportedly planning to put a penalty into the bill that would potentially lock people out of the market for 6 months if they drop their coverage. Vox first reported this over the weekend. Here's why Senate Republicans may do this. Mitch McConnell and his team stripped out the requirement that people buy insurance or face a penalty. But they've also kept the Obamacare provision saying insurers have to sell policies to people with pre-existing conditions. Without some kind of penalty, you probably won't have enough healthy people, meaning premiums would shoot up and insurers could drop out of the market. The House bill said insurers could charge people who drop coverage higher premiums for a period of time. The thing to remember, David, is it's not clear that this penalty could get through the complicated reconciliation process in the Senate.
Dan, thank you. This weekend, the most expensive bailout of failing banks in Italy's history. The Italian government has earmarked the euro equivalent of $19 billion to wind down and sell off two medium-sized banks, Veneto Banca and Banco Popolare di Vicenza. The rules Europe set up for this kind of emergency after the 2008 financial crisis require that private debt holders lose their shirts before any taxpayer money is put into a bailout yet. The arrangement worked out in Italy this weekend means the senior debt holders will instead get their money. This has bonds and other Italian banks soaring this morning, and Italian bank stocks moved higher, with the key Italian stock index up 1.4% now. Other numbers, the FTSE index in London is up 0.7%. Dow and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.3% range. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in Washington today for his first meeting with President Trump. Trade, defense, U.S. military hardware sales, and counterterrorism are top of the agenda. But a key issue is what to do about visas for Indians who want to work in the U.S. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
There have been tensions between India and the U.S. over H-1Bs, employment-based non-immigrant visas for temporary workers, for at least 25 years, says Michael Kugelman at the Wilson Center.
The majority of the H-1B visas go to Indian companies. It's mostly Indians that benefit from this program, which is in danger of being reined in, if not eliminated altogether.
President Trump also upset Indian officials when he claimed earlier this month India signed the Paris Climate Agreement in order to get, quote, billions of dollars in foreign aid.
India doesn't see it that way.
Shailesh Kumar with the Eurasia Group.
They are going above and beyond what they've done in the past with a commitment towards not only climate change, but also because this helps build industry in India and create jobs.
But the bulk of the conversation is likely to focus on defense, security, and counterterrorism. Alyssa Ayers is a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations.
We've got troops in Afghanistan. Which direction are we going? India would like to see some stability in the region.
And as the world's seventh largest economy, India wants its voice heard by the U.S. on these matters. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
International trade is often viewed through a federal lens, right? States, counties, and U.S. territories recently came together with hundreds of foreign investors for a three-day convention in Maryland, and fully behind the whole thing, the sometimes protectionist Trump administration. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
It's called the Select USA Investment Summit, a big conference where states try to woo foreign investors. Takashi Suzuki is there. He's an entrepreneur from Japan. His company makes aluminum plates for computer cooling systems. Speaking through an interpreter, he says he's just opened an office in Idaho Falls.
We were really lucky to have found this community in Idaho and then developed really good relationships so far, and I'm looking forward to having more of those.
I met Suzuki on the trade floor, where representatives from various states, counties, and U.S. territories are showcasing their states and talking up economic opportunities for foreign investors. We're at the Idaho booth, which is decorated with a mural of forest, city, and foreign flags. Lieutenant Governor Brad Little walks up.
You know, Idaho is very much a pro-trade state.
Last year, Idaho's exports were close to $5 billion. Little says even as President Trump talks tough on renegotiating NAFTA and other deals, Idaho continues to send its own trade missions to places like Mexico.
We have to export so many of our agricultural commodities, so many of our technological components that we build, semiconductors. Our wood products industry is very dependent upon trade.
A couple floors above the Idaho booth, Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, is bragging to reporters about this year's record crowd at the convention, which is sponsored by the Commerce Department and International Trade Administration. Ross says more than 2,000 people showed up here.
If memory serves, Chinese delegation is something like 155, and I think the Japanese delegation is around 130.
So why is the Trump administration bashing trade deals with one hand and playing matchmaker for states and foreign investors with the other? Cornell finance professor Andrew Karoly says NAFTA may need fixing, but that doesn't need to stop these state deals.
The federal government wants their companies and their citizens to succeed in this global marketplace.
But states depend on Commerce Department staffers to help them negotiate their deals. Karoly says if those staffers disappear as President Trump shrinks the federal government, that success may be harder to come by. At National Harbor in Maryland, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.